This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Welcome to Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Monday morning, homeroom. Coffee, two cups down. I am buzzing and flying, Johnny Lupinacci and Jess. I am so ready to begin the week.
Yeah, let's go. It's always a great way to begin the week with both you, Jess and Tim. I love it. So much happening in the past week with news, with education. We had some great shows last week. Listeners, we have some amazing guests coming up.
Yeah, we do.
So be ready for those drops this week. But I'm ready to go. Let's hit it.
Let's go. So, Jess, we got some breaking news, right?
We do. Well, not breaking, but we have some trending educational news. How about that?
Okay, let's.
It was breaking last week, but
right now it's still trending.
Trend away.
K-12 dive. Ohio becomes the latest state to restrict transgender students' bathroom access. Transgender students in Ohio will be barred from using multi-person bathrooms aligning with their gender identities at public and private K-12 schools and colleges under legislation signed into law last week by Governor Mike DeWine. The Protect All Students Act, effective February 24, 2025, requires that students must use facilities such as restrooms, locker rooms, and overnight accommodations that are aligned with their sex assigned at birth. The ban applies to schools and any related school-sponsored activities. Ohio has become the 14th state to enact such bathroom bans for transgender students in K-12. Equality Ohio, a nonprofit that advocates for LGBTQ+ rights in the state, released a statement denouncing SB 104's enactment, saying that the law endangers trans students' safety. Bathroom use based on gender identity remains a controversial issue for schools nationally. Earlier this year, the U.S. Supreme Court declined to consider a case about an Indiana school district's policies barring transgender students from using bathrooms aligning with their gender identities. Some school administrators and attorneys had hoped that case, if addressed by the Supreme Court, could have settled the question of whether transgender students are entitled to Title IX federal anti-sex discrimination protection when accessing facilities that differ from their sex assigned at birth. According to the first nationally representative survey data on transgender students released by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention in October, about 3% of the nation's high school students are transgender, and another 2.2% say they are questioning their gender. The survey also found that transgender and questioning students had higher rates of skipping school and of experiencing bullying and poor mental health, and the lowest rates of school connectedness when compared to their cisgender peers.
Man, do I have to claim this as my state right now? I'm embarrassed because listeners, I am in Ohio. I've been watching this happen, and I've spent some time actually talking to particularly superintendents here in rural southeastern Ohio, and again, guess what? For most of them, not an issue, not a concern, because you know what they do is that if students are identifying, they actually have a multi-sex bathroom, available. And there's just not that many people all that upset about this. It is frightening, though, because the reality here who's going to enforce this? That's my question is because I'm telling you, so I'm a fifth grade teacher back in the day, which I was, and I had bathroom duty back in the day because that's what you did. What I wouldn't have done would have said, show me your stuff before you go in, because that ain't my job. And I mean, this is the kind of stuff where you think about, how do you really want to enforce this? The type of trauma that you are going to cause children that are in this state, the type of policing that you are going to want teachers who are the advocates and the voice and sometimes the, you know, the sole person who cares for these children. You're asking them to be the ones who are going to somehow out them and enforce this. This is, yeah, it's not about enforcement, Jess. You're right, you know. Othering and ostracizing. Just jump in there, Jess, since you got it there.
Well, yeah, it's not about enforcement. It's not about, and here's the budget to make sure that you have people stationed in every school bathroom to make sure that every single person who is using the facilities has the correct genitalia. It's not about that. It's about creating an environment in which it is okay to other, to dehumanize and to ostracize trans kids and make them feel unwelcome because they are saying and they are building a space in which trans kids are not welcome. That is the point.
Johnny, you got a comment there too, man.
Well, I agree with you both on this. I mean, it's absolutely just, you know, I really thought years ago we would not be having this conversation the way we continue to have to defend what not only young people, but people in our community all around us are explaining to us is how they identify. And you know, that the battleground of it is, and it comes up in these spaces as bathroom spaces, right? I mean, it just absolutely infuriates me. You know, it's not even a joke, but we say all the time, like, you don't have gender specific bathrooms at your house.
Mm-hmm. Right?
I promise you. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so it has absolutely nothing to do with that process, with that need. It has everything to do with control. Mm-hmm. It has everything to do with denial of also good science.
Yeah.
So that's the other thing I can layer on to the conversation that we're having, all three of us in agreement, and probably lots of our listeners, is that, like, scientific consensus, right? Literacy around understanding what the medical community has, you know, presented, what biologists have shared, what, you know, scientists around the world from diverse cultures have explained over and over again in repetition for decades and decades, right? But it's coming to fruition as scientific consensus. We're not talking about small studies here,
mm-hmm.
right? Let's say we absolutely have sound evidence that there are more than two genders, mm-hmm. that is not as specific as And the it's archaic to base identity off of assignment at birth. And in fact, right, we have past episodes where we have.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
Absolutely. Go back to our October 2nd interview with Sam Long. This is about biologic diversity. It's what makes life interesting. We don't have this strict binary. We just don't. Yeah, we tend to teach it as a binary. And Sam's point that he brought up is that we shouldn't be doing that because it sets up this expectation that it is a binary, that there isn't that nuance that we really do have in nature. This is not something where we're just making up genders left and right. This is basic biology.
And this is a significant statistic of people. We're not even talking about when we're going to get, you know, we talk about education, we talk about youth, right? And let's just kind of look at teenage years, 13 to 17, let's say. You know, the statistics in the U.S. that we have is that there is easily, you know, like thousands and thousands, not even like a few.
Right.
Hundreds of thousands of trans youth, right, for whom this, like Jesse said, says you're not only not welcome here, but we're not going to, you know, acknowledge your humanness, your right to, you know, basic needs, like a space to go to the bathroom. Like, you don't have a place where you gotta go to the bathroom.
Well, think about this, though, too. It's the assumption here is like you've got... Oh, let's be honest. There's a kind of gender discrimination or put forward here. There's this assumption, this weird assumption, that if you have this, you're going to have creepy guys who are going to say, I feel like identifying as a girl today, so I can go into the girls' bathroom and go into the girls' locker room, and so I can see my classmates. And you're like going, okay, wait, That's not what's happening. That's not what we're. But I mean, you can hear that. So though.
I'm gonna go hard on it. It's go projection. For it. Because yeah. the people making these rules and arguing the loudest are the ones who have those thoughts.
Exactly.
And so it's projection here. It's every way telling. You know, like when someone's like, you know, they're like, hey, everybody says I'm a nice guy. Usually they're not a nice guy. They're like telling you that that's like, so the people arguing the loudest against, you know, use of how we decide to share and use spaces like bathrooms and acknowledge the people in our community, especially when we talk about schools, the children in our schools, right? The people arguing the loudest about it are the ones who are saying that's, and you're right, Tim. They're saying, what if this happens? Bro, nobody thinks about that but you and your people. Okay. And that's also a concern in all kinds of spaces. So that's not an arguing point. Like that, again, when people come over to your house, do you like have assigned bathrooms and
Well, we don't have that
potty at the football game.
But here's another part.
You're using a non-gendered bathroom every time they're going to take a leak at the rodeo.
Point. There is a point in this bill is that it's only multi-person restrooms and multi-person facilities that are being targeted for this. So those single-person facilities, those we're comfortable with being for all genders. It's just when we have multiple people in the room that...
But even that, Jess, even that comment, it's, okay, multiple person. That, to me, already says if you're having a multiple-person bathroom, you've got multiple genders, multiple sexes. If you're calling it a multiple-person bathroom already, I know that's being, you know, I'm kind of pointing at the language. But here's another thing to think about, though, here, too, is this, you know, for people going, you know, well, we don't think fifth graders should be, you know, thinking about these. Okay. I'm not going to give you that right now, but I'm going to ask you to pause on that thought and look at the sweepingness of this law. It also applies to college campuses.
Mm-hmm.
People who are potentially mostly 18 and older, and guess what? Faculty there, and I can say I've had transgender colleagues, all right? Here's the deal. According to this law, fully transitioned – doesn't matter what was the junk you had at birth. That's the bathroom you have to go to. And so you're thinking about that and saying, wait a minute, really? So who's the college campuses? People who, you know, again, have already transitioned are now, you know, you're kind of, they're sitting there going like, I don't want to go. I'm not going to that. But Johnny, go ahead. You got something.
I'm going to go too, because I think this is a lot. Like I actually, it dawned on me, I can actually share an experience because in Oregon, I went somewhere in the summer. We were on vacation and we went to a large brewery restaurant place and they have multi-person bathrooms, big ones. It's a large place, big tourist flow through it over on the Oregon coast. And I didn't even realize. And so I want to point out that these are designed and built differently than like your typical, like, this bathroom's the men's and this is the women's, and you walk in and there's a row of urinals everywhere in one. And you know, it's just it's a very different experience. And you know what? It works. Did it feel different? It felt like, oh, I made a mistake. I walked in, but I noticed that there were men and women and children and all these people. And there were sinks, kind of like airport bathrooms, Tim, when we go to the airport.
Yeah, yeah.
You walk in, there's like a sink area and everything. And then there are doors, rows of doors and stalls. That
Johnny,
you're actually going into a hallway with a bunch of single user units and sharing sinks.
You're describing, you know, though, you are actually describing a much more progressive, quote, multi-person bathroom. In Ohio, what they're calling multi-person, just so you're clear on this, is a restroom that allows multiple people in it. They're not saying they're multi.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is
I know.
Future. You don't have.
Right. You don't have to have that. I know.
And I'm going to say, like, remember, history is important. There was a time we had separate drinking fountains for people who had different colored skin than us. And this is the kind of BS that history holds on to, but we learn from. Our bathrooms are going to look different. The era of, like, there being, like, a men's space and a women's space means that, like, we're going to transition to these spaces being more diverse in identity. Mm-hmm. And still safe for people to have some privacy, regardless of whether they identify as male, as female, as anywhere along that spectrum. It's just all the same. So things will have to change, just like having two sets of drinking fountains and things like that. We've done it before. We're long overdue to do it, but we're fighting it because we want to make it about politics of the body and about control. This is, to me, in every way, patriarchal, like.
But Johnny, you're saying this is, you know, like, you know, get with it, progressive. Let's understand the reality. But remember today, well, actually, there's been, you know, over the past week, we Supreme Court hearing the case about gender affirming care for minors. So people under 17 in Tennessee,
18.
they put forward a law that said there is no gender affirming care until you're 18 and you can make that decision.
If you are
yourself.
Transgender.
Right. If you're transgender, Jess, I know we're going to get to that part. And, but, you know, the idea, in fact, though, I think you even said this, Johnny, it's like, where did this come from? There is a movement to go backwards here. And the reality is that it's not looking so good in the Supreme Court for gender-affirming care. It looks like the conservative justices are going to come down on the side of saying, yeah, you know what, minors, no gender-affirming care. It doesn't matter what your parents say. It doesn't matter what your doctors say. Because here's the line that drives me absolutely insane. Who are we, the Supreme Court justices, to overrule the legislators? You're the Supreme Court. That's your job. You overrule when legislators are idiots, stupid, bigoted, transphobic, harming another human being by putting together laws and putting in place laws that hurt our neighbors. That's your job as the Supreme Court. Who are we to question the legislature? Who are you to question the parents? Who are you to question the doctors? And who are you to question the science, as Johnny's put forward here, that's happening here? I don't know. It's a crazy time we're living. You know, and Jess, yeah, clear up that whole, again, gender-affirming care.
So this is something that really gets me upset. Because gender-affirming care has always been accessible to cisgendered individuals. The law in Tennessee, as it is written, states that no medical professional may administer any procedure or treatment to a transgender minor. There are specific provisions that allow for gender-affirming care for cisgender minors. So this would be, for example, if a minor, if a child, say 7 or 8 years old, is going through precocious puberty, they're going through puberty too early.
Too early.
They can be prescribed a puberty blocker. If a child, say 16, 17, hasn't started going through puberty, they have late onset puberty, they can be prescribed hormones that correlate to their sex assigned at birth in order to kickstart that puberty. If a child has an injury to one of their organs that produces those hormones, they can be prescribed gender affirming care in the form of hormones. However, if that child is trans, they cannot be treated with gender affirming care.
Okay, so there, yeah, the idea, hey, look, you know what? Gee, can you think right now too that the way you laid that out there, Jess, it's like, yeah, I'm not trans, sorry, so give me the gender affirming care. I need it, and then going forward, it's just a mess. And Johnny, you've talked about this so many times. I mean, the whole idea of these are our neighbors. These are people. These are humans. It's a human right. How is it possible that we end up in this place where we're policing bathrooms, we're telling doctors and parents how they are to operate, and having this, it is a sign of the times. I don't think we're as progressive as we should be. Maybe there's an opportunity in the future here to have a conversation. You know what? And this is the time. Send people to that episode where we talked to Sam Long. Mm-hmm. Send people to that episode where we talked to Dr. Ethan Siegel, who pointed out the science, the hardcore science behind the diversity of even sex assignment through genetics and the diversity there. Let's have these questions. Tell you what, busting pencils with you two makes me think it's time for a moment of zen. Control in modern times requires more than force. More than law, it requires that a population whose lives are filled with cause for rebellion be taught that all is right as it is. Thanks for joining us for Homeroom. Hang in there on Wednesday. Yeah, it is classes in session. Friday, free throws and face-offs. And don't forget that Saturday drop, one whole hour, busted pencils, 3 o'clock, all across the civic media applications in the network. And keep busting pencils.